This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. More than 20 states have filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration over $6 billion in frozen federal education funds, all for after-school and summer programs and other programs. North Carolina Attorney General Jeff Jackson says families across his state and the country will be impacted if courts don't act quickly.
The effect is going to be massive and it's going to be immediate. We estimate it's roughly $165 million to the state. It's going to result in roughly 1,000 educators being laid off.
President Trump, along with NATO's Secretary General, announcing Ukraine will receive some Patriot weapons sold to the alliance and delivered by Europe. The president expressing frustration with Russia's deadly attacks and says Russia could face more tariffs if a peace deal isn't made in 50 days. Police in Kentucky say two people were killed and two injured after a lone gunman opened fire at a Baptist church Sunday in Lexington. Police say the shooter was killed by officers. Earlier, police say the gunman injured a state trooper. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Tuition will rise for students in the universities of Wisconsin system. Savannah Tomei Olson has the details.
The system is dealing with cuts from the National Institutes of Health, the biggest public funder of research in the world, plus cuts from the Trump administration and a small increase in the state budget. But as UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin says, the budget also includes hiring limits.
This legislation poses quite significant challenge for us. We would become a potential poaching ground quickly, and we would be unable to recruit in some of the very high needs areas that we all view as a priority.
UW System President Jay Rothman says UW is still the most affordable public university system in the Midwest. Even then, Wisconsin ranks 44th in the nation for state higher education funding.
This was a difficult recommendation for me to make as well, because we're trying to balance understanding that the state supports one-fifth of our budget, about 20%. There was a time that it supported close to 44% of our budget. And as that funding has gone down for reasons that, you know, notwithstanding the increase that we get this time, that's simply the fact. And tuition has become a bigger portion of our revenue.
This is the third year in a row that students within the UW system will see a tuition increase. It'll begin in the fall. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The University of Northern Iowa is offering in-state tuition to Wisconsin students as it tries to attract more students. UNI President Mark Nook estimates up to 300 out-of-state graduates would take a job in Iowa each year. UNI's Cedar Falls campus is about 150 miles from the Wisconsin border. The in-state tuition rates also apply to residents of Minnesota and Illinois. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Bucks lose to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks losing to the L.A. Clippers, 106-91 in summer league action. Bucks GM John Horst asked if he's had any contact with Giannis after all the roster changes they've made.
We talk to Giannis all the time. I'll go visit him after summer league. You know, there's a reason we don't really speculate or talk about any of this stuff ever. Entirely focused on our job. Our job is to build the best team that we can, present that to him, present the vision and the plan, and go and kick ass in the next season.
Baseball, the Brewers drafting five new players, three pitchers, two infielders. The draft continues today. Milwaukee beat the Nationals 8-1 to complete a three-game sweep heading into the All-Star break. But Sal Frelick suffering a hamstring injury after sliding to catch a pop fly in foul territory.
You know, his hamstrings last week, he was feeling it a little bit and cautious and got treated for it. And then when he slid, he felt like it got worse. We recommended he come out of the game.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Bright and hazy today with mostly sunny skies and wildfire smoke and winds barely moving. High temperatures today will strike the upper 80s. But with the increased humidity, it's going to be feeling more like the low 90s. Stay cool and keep hydrated. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 83 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin is going to be doing things to welcome more movie making here. Nathan Demming joins us. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Wake Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board at 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, July the 14th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite back at the world headquarters in downtown Madison. Blue skies above, Zommers. I don't know how to talk now that I'm back in a proper studio after a while away.
Yeah. Now that we're live on the Civic Media Radio Network, is yes, it also rabbit hunting season?
I don't know. I think I was trying to say radio network and then welcome at the same time. Probably. I don't know. My brain's a little shorted out. Glad to have you along, everybody, on a Monday here. Exciting week ahead after a very exciting week last week was up in the Chippewa Valley on Thursday and Friday, broadcasting there with our friend and colleague Pat Kreitlow from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Had a great time. And thank you to Rusty Volk, the entire crew at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. By the way, Kaylee and Sue the Chicken have emerged as the favorite guests from those two shows, Zommers. It was a good time. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we had a live chicken on the show.
And I honestly, it was incredible. As soon as I found out there was a live chicken, before we started, Todd asked me, all right, should we have the owner hold the chicken or should we have it on the table?
Yes.
And I said, you got to do it on the table because if it craps on the table on live radio, it'll be hilarious. It didn't. She was an incredibly well-behaved chicken. We got many comments from our viewers.
Yeah.
I believe Kurt Kohler commented, such a well-behaved chicken, unlike the host.
Yes, unlike the host. But I was able to contain my bodily functions during the show, which is always a good thing. My sister Heather, who is our on-site production coordinator for some of these on-location shows during the summer, she says, we're wearing the same shirts on Facebook today because, yes, if you're watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, what used to be Twitter, I have my 2025 National Coob Championship t-shirt, because on Sunday, and this capped off a very, very exciting few days for me, on Thursday and Friday, we're at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. On Saturday, the whole family, mom included, packed up the van, went over to the Twin Cities, Minneapolis to be precise, to the Orpheum Theater, and we saw the touring Broadway production of Kimberly Akimbo, which Heather and I went out and saw on Broadway a couple of years ago to celebrate her 50th birthday. And let me tell you, if you get a chance, if Kimberly Akimbo is near you, or if you want to take a drive like we did to the Twin Cities, get yourself there, because this touring company, which has a couple of the original cast members in it, the OG, as they say, fantastic. From musically, acting, the whole shebang, absolutely fantastic. And so Kimberly Akimbo, highly recommended by the Albaugh-Galloy family.
Along that note, I got an email from the Pablo Center up in Eau Claire.
Really?
Book of Mormon is going to be there in November.
Really? Well, let's book the tickets now.
Might have to.
We'll absolutely have to do a show back at the Pablo for Book of Mormon in the fall. That's great.
I can't wait. I've been wanting to see it for a long time.
Yeah. No, it's a really, really a great show. So that's fantastic. And then, so we did that on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we were back at Eau Claire and we went down and saw the finals of the Coupe Championships in Eau Claire. Lots of people there. Lots of excitement. We saw the third and fourth place teams square off. And then the championship game for the National Coupe Championship featured two teams, one based in Minnesota and the other based in Eau Claire with a guy, the international guy from Belgium.
Oh, yeah.
And last year, that guy came over here from Belgium and they got second, I believe. This year, I think it was the Kabooms or something. Heather, if you remember, put it in the chat, please. But they were fantastic. And it was high drama, and the team based in Eau Claire with the guy from Belgium won, and it was a lot of fun. It was really, really fun. So maybe next year we do a day from the Coupe Championship proper, and we get our friend Jane Matinera to come along with us, and we'll set up right there. So I'm wearing, for those watching on the stream, I'm wearing my 2025 Coupe Championship. So many thanks to all the great folks at Coupe up there in Eau Claire who made us feel at home and joined us on the program. And of course, BJ Hollers, one of the two folks at Fireside Productions, filming a documentary. And you think, well, Coupe isn't that exciting. But just like our friends Kelly Call and Sean Hanisch with the Brewers documentary, Just a Bit Outside, it's beyond the sport. It's not just about the sport, whether it's baseball or Coupe. It's about the relationships. It's about the humanity of it. And that's really the story behind the story. So looking forward to that. And thank you. Here it is. Heather has got it right on the tip of her tongue. Kaboom Jr. was third or fourth. The second place team had a much longer name.
Yeah, I looked it up.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
And in fourth is Kuboom Jr., spelled K-U-B-B-O-O-M. Yes. So Kuboom Jr.
Kuboom Jr.
In third, Bebop and Coop Steady and the Kid.
All right.
Both of those teams are from Eau Claire. Mm. In second place, Chaska Blue Bell Ringers from Minnesota. And then in first place, The Wrecking Crew from
Eau Claire
and Belgium.
The Wrecking Crew. Congratulations to The Wrecking Crew of Eau Claire and Belgium for your National Coupe Championships. It's really great. And it doesn't cost that much to buy a wood Coupe set.
Can make one.
Could make what it wanted to, but yeah, I would say check it out. It's a good time had by all, as Ken Lewis is fond of saying. So anyway, back here just for a day, Zommers. In fact, I have laundry in the wash machine back home. I had to do some socks and underwear, you understand, and some shirts. And then I got to go home as soon as the show is over and pack up again because I got to go to Wauwatosa in the morning. It's been quite the fiasco, let me tell you, this upcoming trip. There's lots of moving parts, and it involves me meeting Luke Mathers at an undisclosed dark alley in Wauwatosa in the morning.
At 10 a.m. sharp.
Yes, because Todd no longer has a company card, you understand? They didn't trust me with the money. So poor Lukester has to meet me down there with a card to pay for this. We're getting a rental vehicle because last year it was just Jane and I, but we're very, very happy. This year, Greg Bach is going along. Well, when I travel in my truck, I only have room for one extra person. And so we had to get a rental vehicle. I think it's a Bluebird 1967 bus. But anyway, we're going to rent that from Enterprise down there in Wauwatosa. And then I trek down to Racine at the Rockefeller Dancing Rockette Studio in Racine. You're going to be there. I'm very excited about this. They're letting you out of Madison for once.
Yeah, it's the first time on a tour that I'm traveling. It is to another studio, but still.
But still, you're going to be down there, and we're going to talk Racine Kringle, O-N-H, I believe it is.
Yep.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow. And Jane and Greg, we might bribe them to come on the show. And then we're going to, as soon as the show is done in Racine tomorrow, it's on to the Bluebird bus. And I'm just like the Partridge family. We're going to drive up to Oshkosh tomorrow after the show. Wednesday, Jane and Greg will do their fantastic program, Matt and Aaron Air, from 9 until 11. And then we'll do our show from 2 until 4. Then it's back in the bus. We drive all the way to Park Falls, where the one, and by the way, many thanks to Todd Michaels for helping set up the Oshkosh site. And then Darla, our great manager up there in Park Falls and Hayward, Darla has got things all set up, and we're going to stay up in Park Falls. We're going to do the show on Thursday, pardon me. Yeah, Thursday from an artisan studio. That'll be great. I think Jane and I are going to have a pottery off. We're going to see.
I hope so.
We're going to see who can do the best vase at the end of the shows. So that should be a lot of fun. Greg is going to do an oil painting, I believe, of a loon.
Oh, not bad.
Oh, Norman, the loons are back. That's my Katharine Hepburn from On Golden Pond. Anyway, that'll be great. And then on Friday, we're getting up at dawn's crack. I mean, up the crack of dawn, and we're getting in the bus, and we're going over to Hayward, where the big lumberjack championships are taking place. We won't be there at the lumberjack site, but we'll be in the same town. And there's a powwow going on. We're going to be in a place called The Lot. Not Big Lots. That's an entirely different place. But we're going to be at The Lot, which is right across the street from Muskie 101. Here's the great thing. If you listen to us on WBZH, Buzz of the North, get your lawn chair, your favorite beverage. They don't care what you bring up in Hayward. Just bring a beverage. Bring your beverage. Bring a lawn chair. Bring a friend. Bring a lover. Whatever you want to do. Bring a pet. And meet us at this wonderful little pavilion called The Lot right across the street from Muskie 101 in Hayward. And Jane and Greg are going to do their morning show there. They're going to have some cloggers, I think, and a banjo player that starts off their show at 9 o'clock. And then we're going to come on with singing lumberjacks in the afternoon. Beautiful. And so that'll be fantastic.
If you live in Hayward and have chickens that are well-behaved,
yes,
you should bring them.
If you have live chickens, because we're going to be outside. If you have a live chicken, bring it. Now, I was going to say, this is true. My sister will vouch for this. I said, all right, we've had a chicken here in Eau Claire last week. I said, what I really want for next week, I would like a live bear cub. A live bear cub.
That may be a little more difficult.
At the event up in Hayward.
But it would be incredible.
It would be incredible. And this is only slightly, it's really not funny at all. But it's ironic. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, this is a real headline. 69-year-old woman severely injured in black bear attack in Wisconsin's Barron County, which is not too far from Hayward. So a 69-year-old woman was attacked by a black bear near the town of Comstock in Barron County, according to the State Department of Natural Resources, which is investigating and searching for the animal. The woman sustained severe injuries, according to the DNR, but her condition is currently unknown. She reported the attack at around 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. So this is right in the middle of the day. She was able to call 911, take it to a local hospital. Here's the key. DNR wardens and U.S. Department of Ag staff did not know exactly why the bear attacked. As they began looking for the bear, officials found a cub in a tree.
That'll do it.
Indicating the incident involved a cub and a female bear. How many times do you have to tell people, do not get between an animal and their offspring? It's just nothing good's going to come of it.
In fact, very bad things almost certainly will.
Yeah. This ain't Yogi Bear. This isn't, you know, the farm animal zoo, petting zoo. This is wildlife. And I don't care whether it's a bear, an elk, a moose, a deer, a skunk. Don't get between them. If there's little ones, oh, look, they're so cute. I want to pet them. It's going to end poorly for you, the human.
Absolutely. Like black bears, normally, they don't hurt people. Right. They're pretty easy
right,
to scare
off. Right, they're
docile. Yeah.
You know, you hunt bear.
Although we didn't see one then, but I have seen bears other times. Mm. And, you know, if it's black, fight back. If it's brown, get down.
Really?
If it's white, say goodnight.
Really? A polar bear, you can't.
Polar bear, it's just going to kill you almost
you're
definitely.
Just done.
Probably.
Well, I hope with global warming, I don't think Jane and Greg and I are going to run into any polar bears up in Hayward.
I don't think so. But no, with a black bear, just make yourself big and make noise. Like put your arms up and out.
The closest
and they'll
we'll
probably
get,
run away.
The closest we'll get to is a large man with white hair. That's a polar bear. Anyway, we'll stay away from the bears. We'll behave ourselves. and we're going to have a great time. So if you're in the Hayward area, come on out Friday, either from 9 to 11 for Jane and Greg's show or 2 until 4 for our show at The Lot in Hayward, Wisconsin. Going to be an absolutely great time. Come on back. Talk a little healthcare in rural Wisconsin after this. Surprise, surprise. And Elmo got hacked.
I saw.
I'm not kidding. Come on back. It's the Almost Show on Civic Media.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, July 14th. Zomers and I back at the world headquarters. I'm back at the world headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin.
I've been here the whole time.
You've been here the whole time. Tomorrow, we'll both be down at Radio City Rockette Music Park down in Racine. Looking forward to nervous anticipation to that. Do you think anybody will be in sequins when we arrive?
I'm not sure.
Maybe I'll be in sequins when we arrive.
I hope so.
Zomer's playing some Elmo here. We're going to get to this. Elmo, the Sesame Street Muppet, and Jeffrey Epstein. This is real. I texted this to a friend this morning who's in the business, as we say. And she said, that is so fake.
No,
I said,
it's real.
It is not fake. She's like, OMG. Anyway, hope she's enjoying it old fashioned up at Ishnala. Ever been to Ishnala, by the way?
I haven't. I want to.
We need to do a show from Ishnala. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Maybe we can get someone to cover the board and I can go too.
Maybe we'll try. We're going to get to Elmo in just a bit. A couple other big headlines. Here's what's going on, what a lot of people are talking about. Trump announces a weapons for Ukraine and gives Russia a 50-day deadline. So now Trump is saying, well, no, I don't know. I guess I can't trust Vladimir Putin the way I thought I could. So he's going to, okay, some Patriot missiles for Ukraine, which is really the only thing that can really protect Ukraine from these Russian drones that have been pounding Ukraine at night. So Trump is at least saying, we'll see if it becomes true, that he's going to help Russia out a little bit. Bongino, remember him, the big radio guy, the dude that was down at the RNC last year at Milwaukee, real tough guy. Bongino, a talk radio guy, he was now like the deputy director of the FBI. He's salty and saying that he didn't show up for work on Friday. He no-called, no-showed because he's salty about the fact that over the 4th of July holiday, the Trump folks kind of tried to slip it in there, no pun intended, that in fact, after campaigning on the Jeffrey Epstein files, this dude who just was proven in court that he had run a sex trafficking ring of young girls in an island down in the Caribbean or somewhere. There were all kinds of names of politicians and celebrities. Trump was on this log of the plane and also on the island several times. And it was alleged that Trump had participated in this as well as other people. But it never came out during the Biden administration. Merrick Garland, nobody knows what he was doing. Never followed up on it. But Trump said, you elect me president, I will release this. And Epstein's in prison, by the way. And then, all of a sudden he slipped on the soap and he's dead. And they say he committed suicide. But then they went to the cameras. Well, the cameras will tell the truth on this. Well, it turns out the cameras have, guess what? About a minute and a half of missing footage that the camera, quote unquote, malfunctioned.
And they finally released the video and they did a terrible job. It has metadata that shows it was edited.
Right.
Like four times.
Like somebody was splicing with a videotape or something. It's clearly, and Trump is on camera in an interview saying, he either got killed or committed suicide. That's what Trump said, unquote. And so now Trump, now that he's president, and Pam Bondi, the Pam Bondi girl, Pam Bondi, she says, no, actually, there's nothing there.
Previously having said that it was on her desk.
Right. And now there's nothing there. And the whole thing's gone, you understand. All the files, the electronic files, the paper files, they've been burned, they've been whatever, incinerated. So none of this is ever going to come to light, the actual truth.
Well, no, they haven't been incinerated. They didn't exist. And Trump said that the Obamas made them.
Right.
And now I don't know where it is.
So now some of these folks in MAGA world are salty because Trump had a run on this. And so Dan Bongino says he might not stay in the Trump administration because he got Laura Loomer, that whack a job. She's out there saying she's not happy. So some of these people on the far right are finally figuring out that, this is a fraud and that Trump isn't such a great guy after all. So there's trouble in MAGA world. So that's going on. What else we got? Over the weekend, this was interesting. Rosie O'Donnell, the former comedian, actor, talk show host, Rosie O'Donnell. She, by the way, now living in Ireland because she says she can't stand Trump. Well, and these two, Trump and O'Donnell, have gone back a long ways, not liking each other. And so now Trump over the weekend, this is real, tweeted out. And look, people are going to say, well, he was just joking around or whatever. Can't you take a joke? Blah, 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 blah. I don't care if it was a joke or not. It's the fact that Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, is the sitting president of the United States. And as sitting president of the United States from the White House, Donald Trump over the weekend put on his Truth Social media platform, quote, because of the fact that Rosie O'Donnell is not in the best interest of our great country, I am giving serious consideration to taking away her citizenship. She is a threat to humanity and should remain in the wonderful country of Ireland if they want her. God bless America, unquote. Again, people are going to say, it just distracts us. I don't think it's distracting to point out that the sitting president of the United States would even joke about revoking someone who is born in this country is a full citizen. That's just sick and scary, quite frankly. So you got that going on over the weekend. I don't think Rosie has given the response the dignity of a response or the tweet or whatever you want to call it, the dignity of a response. So that's some of the heavier kind of sensationalistic news happening. Oh, and Trump now saying he's going to put tariffs again, 30% on tomatoes. People are growing tomatoes. Apparently it costs $5 for a tomato now at the farmer's market. No, I just made that up. But wouldn't that be something? $5 for a tomato. People are going to say, well, there's 30% tariff. By the way, I bought coffee. If Jane's listening, I bought coffee this morning at our friend at Wonder State Coffee for our trip for Jane, Greg, and people that come out and see us in Hayward, by the way. Pricey because of the tariffs. Because of the tariffs. So everything's going up. Tomatoes, coffee, the whole deal. All right, we'll come back. I should get to this story by NBC. Rural hospitals brace for painful choices after Trump's Medicaid and Obamacare cuts. This is real. Come on back. More after this on the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
At this time of the year, we talk a lot about auctions. On farm auctions, auctions at the county fair, but beginning today, a unique auction giving you an opportunity. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. That's because today through the 21st, the Bureau of Land Management within the U.S. Department of the Interior hosting their online corral auction, giving you a chance to adopt and buy wild horses and donkeys. Jason Luderman from the National Wild Horse and Burro Program says it's your chance to give these animals not only a good home, but potentially find yourself a good work partner. He says donkeys, for example, can do many different things.
So a lot of people use them as guard animals. Burros make great guard animals. They'll run off coyotes or other predators that might threaten your herd. A lot of people just keep them as pets. I mean, you look at take one look at one of those burros and you'll see why. They're very cute animals, and a lot of people have them around as pets or livestock guardians. Some people take them on the trails as well. They can be used as pack animals. Basically, anything you want a donkey to do, that's what this burro is for.
Jason Luderman with the National Wild Horse and Burro Program. He says they do this auction about every 4 to 5 years to make sure that the animal numbers in rangeland in the West aren't becoming overcrowded and that the animals stay healthy. If you're interested in getting involved, again, the online sale from now through the 21st, and the pre-application process takes less than a business day to complete. We've got a link up on our website now, MidwestFarmReport.com.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers. The Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
.com.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
There's a quick update for you on food and farming news for a Monday. Remember, our talk text line is open to you anytime. Communicate directly with us by calling or texting 877-301-FARM. I'm Pam Yonke.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Bright and hazy today with mostly sunny skies and wildfire smoke and winds barely moving. High temperatures today will strike the upper 80s. But with the increased humidity, it's going to be feeling more like the low 90s. Stay cool and keep hydrated. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 84 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. Zommer is on the board on this Monday, July 14th, 2025, 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock for the world headquarters in downtown Madison today. We're going to be on the road tomorrow down in Racine. That'll be a lot of fun. See Jane Gregg down there of Matt Nair on Air. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's Jane, Greg, and Todd on the road. What makes Wisconsin great? I'm going to be talking about that in Oshkosh, Butternut. By the way, Butternut, the home of the Butternut Squash. And then on Friday from Hayward. So that'll be a lot of... By the way, sorry, my voice is a little rough. I'm not sure what it... I think it's the fact that I was up in a lot of northern air over the weekend in beautiful northern Wisconsin. Maybe I was talking to a lot of people, and thank you to everybody that came out at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Had Pat Kreitlow up there along with myself. You had Mike McKay from WCFW, the music station up there, the voice, the iconic voice of Chippewa Valley. And then you also had James Kelly of James Kelly News here at Civic Media. That was a lot of fun as well. So thank you for everybody that came out. So, Zombers, I got to have some lemon and honey tonight or something like that, because I'm going to be back on the road the next 4 days. So, got to try to get the voice back. So, I apologize for that. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. If you want to comment or call in, you can also join us on the Civic Media app. John in Oshkosh, listening on WISS, says, what are the Oshkosh stop details again? We'd like to know. No, we're going to be at the EAA Museum tomorrow, but I'm not. So I suppose.
Not tomorrow.
I'm sorry. Wednesday. Wednesday, Jane and Greg will be doing their show from the EAA Museum from 9 until 11. And then we'll be doing our show from there from 2 until 4. I'm not exactly sure what time the museum opens, because I think we're going to be inside. But I would assume if you go and you pay the admission price for the EAA Museum, you can stop out and say hi to us. And we would love that. Now, we also may be having a drink at the hotel bar at the Marriott downtown in Oshkosh tomorrow night. So that would be
Wednesday night.
Or Wednesday.
Or do you mean tomorrow night?
No, tomorrow night.
Oh,
tomorrow.
This time it is tomorrow.
Okay. Yes, tomorrow on Tuesday, because we're going to be getting in late, or not late, but I don't know what time we'll get in. 7-ish, 7:30. Anybody find this at the Marriott bar in Oshkosh? Jane, Greg, and I. We'll buy you a drink. Come on out and say hi. Before we get into this story about rural hospitals, our friend Gene in Eau Claire, speaking of WCFW, the tap up there. Gene, it was a lovely couple of days in your neck of the woods up there. What do you have to say?
Well, you did a really outstanding job at the
thank you.
Wisconsin State Fair. That was really great coverage. I loved it. You do a good job. You do great on YouTube. I watch you guys on YouTube all the time.
What do you think of the chicken? The chicken was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was outstanding.
Thank you.
Oh, it just was so calm by your behavior.
I know.
Oh, this is a good guy. I'm going to be good. I'm not going to do anything naughty.
I think the credit goes to the chicken, but go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I want to thank you for covering this important information that's going on in our country right now, because I've never seen anything like it. It's just destructive, psychotic behavior as demonstrated by our president and his administrative staff around him. And it's just unbelievable the way that he treats other countries, the way he's going to do a tariff, then he's not going to do a tariff, then he does it for personal reasons. It is just nuts. And then the economy, stocks going up, stocks going down. They don't know what's, if they're coming or going in the chaos and what's going on with ICE. And I hope people really pay attention to what's going on here and say, do you think we can survive another year with these people running our country, or are we going to get people in there with, you know, some stability? So anyway, thank you for your coverage and keep up the great work.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jean. Have a great day up there in beautiful Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Breaking news, Amers, across the wires at this hour from CBS News. The United States Supreme Court has agreed to pause a lower court order that required the Department of Education to reinstate nearly 1,400 employees who had been laid off while proceedings over the Trump administration's efforts to dismantle the agency continued. The high court granted a request from the Trump administration to lift, for now, the injunction issued by U.S. Judge June, which blocked the mass layoffs at the Education Department. A federal appeals court rejected a bid to pause that decision while the Justice Department appealed, after which it sought emergency relief from the Supreme Court. The decision to lift the stay was, surprise, surprise, 6-3, with the court's three liberal justices dissenting. The Trump administration argued that John, the judge appointed by former President Joe Biden, did not have the power to order the reinstatement. So put it down there where the chickens can get at it in everyday English. Supreme Court now, just now, issuing a ruling that says to Donald Trump, sure, fire 1,400 employees. That's just fine with us. An oversimplification, perhaps, but that's basically what it is saying that, no, this lower judge can't stop the Trump administration from firing 1,400 people from the Education Department for now while it works its way through the courts. Well, I mean, come on. Let's be real. Once, you know, people get laid off, are they going to wait around for weeks, if not months, to, well, I think I'll just sit here and knit for 4 months while the courts work this out, and maybe I'll get to go back to the Department of Education. No, they're done. They're silver. So the U.S. Supreme Court saying to the Trump administration just now, breaking news, that 1,400 employees in the Education Department are gone, basically gutting and dismantling the U.S. Department of Education. So there's that. Good gravy. All right. This has been an underreported story, I think, across much of legacy media. This from NBC News, doing a good job here. Headline, rural hospitals brace for painful choices after Trump's Medicaid and Obamacare cuts. An estimated 17 million people could lose their health insurance, putting financial strain on hospitals. Says rural hospitals across the U.S. say they're being forced to consider tough choices, like cutting services for children or cancer patients, after President Donald Trump signed into law a sprawling domestic policy bill that includes sweeping cuts to not only Medicaid, but the Affordable Care Act as well, better known as Obamacare. Benjamin Anderson, CEO of Hutchinson Regional Healthcare Systems, oversees 180-bed hospitals that serve as the only hospital for many residents in rural South Central Kansas. Anderson said he's evaluating how the hospital and its broader health system will be able to afford its offerings, afford all of its offerings of services, which include hospice and home care, inpatient mental health treatment, and a cardiology program. Services that are not traditionally as profitable, such as women's health and pediatric care, will be the hardest to sustain, Anderson said. He added the system is trying to see which programs can be saved. The cuts in the bill will also mean that hospitals will have to continue its hiring freeze, a move that risks burning out staff members already sustained from the pandemic and with high patient loads. The real test, he said, will come this fall when flu, COVID, and RSV cases are expected. Quote, what this does is put us at risk when the respiratory season hits, Anderson said. We're at real risk of wearing out the staff we have right now, unquote. Let me step away from the story. Right there, those couple of sentences gets at the heart of what's not being talked about. It's not just the cuts from Trump's bill that just got passed and signed into law. It's not just the monetary cuts. But it's the fact that so many of our rural hospitals, including right here in Wisconsin, are going to continue either hiring freezes and or not replacing people that retire, which means that the current staff gets overworked, gets burned out. And so when you have the respiratory season hitting this fall into the winter, a lot of these folks are just going to be, I'm out of here. Because we can't expect our healthcare folks to put their own mental and physical health at risk from being burned out. And we saw this here in Madison. Nurses went on strike at Mariner Hospital. They got an agreement there. Wisconsin Supreme Court recently said that the nurses union at UW could not bargain because of Scott Walker's Act 10 that Republicans passed in the state over 10 years ago. And these folks are at their breaking point, many of them. What happens when people get their breaking point? Well, if they don't themselves have breakdowns, physical or mental, it increases the chance that they can make a mistake on their patients, which they do not want to do, by the way. It's when we go in, you know, and you check in, you have to give your last name, your birth date. You get into the room, the nurse or the whoever it is comes in to take your blood pressure. Can I get your last name of birth? Oh, I need it again. And then the doctor comes in or the physician assistant, they ask for it before you get any sort of a treatment, whether it's a shot or whatever. Can I get your last name? Those are all preventative to try to lessen the possibility of a mistake in our medical community. And they're doing that to protect us, the patients. And now this bill by Republicans, MAGA Republicans and Trump, is going to increase the burnout rate at our rural hospitals all across Wisconsin. Back to the story by NBC. Rural hospitals rely heavily on Medicaid funding because they typically serve a higher share of low-income patients. An estimate from KFF, a health policy research group, found that Trump's legislation could lead to about 17 million people losing coverage due to the changes in Medicaid and the ACA or Obamacare. Let me say that again. This so-called big, beautiful bill of Trump's could lead to about 17 million people losing coverage to the changes in Medicaid and the ACA or Obamacare. More than 300 rural hospitals in the U.S. are at risk of closing down because of the bill. Democratic lawmakers wrote in a letter last month, if more of their patients are uninsured, these hospitals risk not getting paid for their services, the letter said. The bill includes nearly $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid, mainly through work requirements, as well as changes to how states are able to help fund their programs, known as the provider tax. It also makes changes to the ACA or Obamacare, including additional paperwork requirements to renew coverage each year. It allows government subsidies to help people pay for health plans to expire at the end of the year. The Congressional Budget Office, a nonpartisan agency that provides budget and economic information to Congress, estimated that nearly 4 million people will lose their coverage in 2026 if the subsidies were not extended. Here's the kicker. Edward Park from Public Policy Research at Georgetown said the changes to Medicaid pose the greatest threat to rural hospitals, but many of those changes, get this, won't take effect until 2027 at the earliest. But Park said he does not expect states and rural hospitals to wait until the last minute to prepare. So we're going to explain this when we come back. Because you're going to see rural hospitals start closing in Wisconsin and across this country. And Republicans are going to say, well, why are they doing this? We'll tell you why when we come back. It's the All Both Show on Civic Media. Don't go anywhere for a Monday.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Milwaukee Brewers play here all season long. Catch the game on us, WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center. Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center. Baseball on the radio is a tradition we're very happy to continue. Catch the Brewers all season long on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Your local civic media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Doing it. Welcome back to Tom Wall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. Zomer is on the board. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock. Coming up at hour two. A little what's worse for you today. I'm trying to lose weight, Zomers. Spending time at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair is not exactly the way to do it. I'm trying to, I don't need to lose like 75 pounds, but I could lose 15. And so I'm trying just to get a little bit more. And so what's worse today, dieting or exercise? We'll talk about that in hour two. Along with, let's play the feud. Family feud, big anniversary date over the weekend. We'll talk about that. Also, Jacob Mizorowski, the phenom pitcher of the Milwaukee Brewers, going to the All-Star game in record time. Mike Clemens was there, our great sports reporter, at the post-game press conference after he got named. And Clemens has some great audio. Going to be sharing that with you from Jacob Mizorowski in hour two. Right now, want to finish up this story on Medicaid cuts in Trump's bill. The record cuts. And here's the deal. You're going to hear this from Derek Van Orden, Republican congressman in Western Wisconsin. You're going to hear it from Congressman Tom There's No Breakfast at Tiffany's in Northern Wisconsin. You're going to hear it from Glenn Grothman. You're going to hear it from Fitz and others. They're going to say, I don't know why libs and Democrats are screaming like this. I mean, there's no cuts. They're just making this up. They're scaring people. That's what the MAGA folks are going to say. Here is why they're saying this. They're going to say this. This story at NBC today. Edwin Park, a research professor at the Georgetown University School of Public Policy, said the changes to Medicaid pose the greatest threats to rural hospitals. Many of those changes will not take effect until 2027 at the earliest. But Park said he does not expect states and rural hospitals to wait until the last minute to prepare. Recently, Nebraska-based community hospital said it's shutting down Curtis Medical Center, a clinic in Curtis, a town of around 900 people, citing, in part, anticipated cuts from the government. Quote, "They're going to start making cuts now," Park said. "So instead of a cliff, they're trying to cut now so they don't have all the painful cuts in a singular year." Kevin Stansberry, the CEO of the Lincoln Community Hospital and Care Center, a 25-bed rural hospital in Hugo, Colorado, said he may soon have to start cutting services for patients, including long-term care. Trump's bill does include $50 billion with a B, for rural hospitals. Those funds will be distributed by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services for 5 years. Park called the federal funds, quote, a fig leaf, unquote, noting that it won't be enough to offset the losses for the Medicaid and ACA cuts. Stepping away from the story, you know what my teacher, Ken Lewis, once said? In social studies, when we were studying China, he'd give us Confucius says. Confucius says. He'd say, Confucius says, man who wears fig leaf should not own goat.
Can you elaborate on that?
No, I just think, man who wears fig leaf should not own goat. Every time I see a fig leaf, I think of him. So, yes, there will be money. There's money in this. But you understand what they're putting in is not enough to offset the cuts in Trump's bill. And we're going to see this all across Wisconsin. We're going to see it across the country. And because many of these cuts don't actually take effect until 2027, the Republicans are going to tell us, oh, this is overreaction. But these medical facilities, these hospitals have to plan ahead. So don't let people pull the wool over your eyes. Know what's in this bill. Know what's in the fine print. Republicans, MAGA, Trump is sticking it to rural hospitals. And if you think, well, you know, okay, that's just way up north of Wisconsin or you know, it's in southwest Wisconsin. No. You go a half an hour outside of Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay, you're going to be in a rural hospital. Or a rural clinic. So don't think this isn't going to affect you. We were just up in Hayward, or pardon me, in Eau Claire this weekend, having a lovely dinner with Pat Kreitlow and his lovely wife, Dr. Kreitlow, who is telling us, as OBGYN, that there are people in this state now who are driving over 2 hours for services. This is only going to get worse. All right, we're going to get to this in hour two, I promise you. Headline, Elmo gets hacked. On social media, goes on anti-Semitic tirade and says Trump is on the Epstein list. I mean, I think it's funny. But the crap that this hacker put on there is not funny. But the fact that this is so Elmo has a Twitter account.
Which always just posts positive little things like, right. Elmo hopes you're having an excellent day.
Right.
Like, Elmo loves spending time with his friends and you should too.
Right, exactly. But someone hacked the Elmo Twitter account over the weekend and started putting things on there that Elmo clearly would not say. Sesame Street's beloved Muppet Elmo, known to go viral online for working through grief with celebrities or just generally checking in with everyone, went viral yet again yesterday. But this time, because he was hacked, and the hack led to some very not Elmo posts. Yesterday morning, Elmo's X account began posting links to cryptocurrency scams before things got canceled by hanging out with Tom. There appeared to be six rogue posts in total, largely targeting minority groups, particularly the Jewish community. But there was one about Trump and Epstein. We'll share it when we come back. Elmo knows. Stay with us. Hour two is straight ahead. News, weather, and sports next. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Elmo hopes you come back.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Kentucky police identified the gunman in the deadly shooting at a Baptist church Sunday in Lexington as Guy House. Two people were killed, two others injured. Police say House also shot at a state trooper and carjacked a vehicle earlier. ABC News has learned through House's estranged girlfriend that he also had a history of mental illness and drug possession. Kentucky State Police Sergeant Matt Suddeth says the investigation into how he got the gun is ongoing.
I'm not going to speculate as to why he had a gun. If he had, obviously he had a firearm because of what we know, but I can't speculate as to how he got that.
President Trump announcing an arms deal with NATO to deliver defense weapons to Ukraine. The president also vowed to slap another round of steep sanctions against Russia if the leader does not get a peace deal done in 50 days. 20 states are suing the Trump administration's education department for withholding $6 billion in federal funding for education summer and after-school programs. They're asking for the courts to act quickly. This is ABC News.